You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, welcome here in 2018 as we celebrate the Reformation. Try to imagine this if you can. Imagine that with the blessing of God, you discovered the cure for cancer. For all kinds of cancers throughout the entire world, you had the cure. And then, excited about that, you were traveling around the world and you were letting people know what you had discovered. You can imagine that the people who had cancer, they would be so thrilled about that. But can you imagine, though, maybe the hospitals, maybe the drug companies, maybe not so thrilled about that. And let's say they were so unhappy that they did everything they could to have you arrested and put to death so you would stop spreading this information about the cure for cancer. Isn't that a crazy story? Well, that's a made-up story, obviously, but it's not too far off, though, from the spiritual story, the spiritual cure that God showed to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther 500 years ago. Think about it like this. God showed Luther that Jesus Christ, he was the spiritual cure for all people of all time. Pretty important, right? And then, what did Luther do? He was so excited, he wanted to tell others. And the ones who were crushed by their sins, the ones who knew they could never make themselves right in God's sight, the ones who knew they were spiritually helpless, they were thrilled when they heard what Luther taught. Because then, through his message, they knew that heaven was open for them through Jesus Christ. But there were, though, in Luther's day, great powers who used the reality of sin to gain money from people. And when Luther was saying that it's not money that saves us, but rather it is Jesus Christ alone, what did those great powers try to do? They tried to capture Luther, and they wanted him captured dead or alive. They wanted to stop this message that he was putting out there to the world. What did God do, though? God intervened. God permitted Luther to live, to write, to preach, to teach for 25 more years until finally he passed away. That's really what the Reformation is about. So today we celebrate the 501st anniversary of Luther nailing his 95 theses, thus his 95 theological statements, to the door of the Castle Church there in Wittenberg. Luther was hoping to spark a theological debate. He wanted people to talk about it. He wanted people to see the truth of God's word. He wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to be excited. He wanted them to get that important word out to the world. It didn't happen quite the way he expected, but God continued to work with Luther and others to bless us even today. In today's sermon, we're going to focus on Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is the basis for Luther's famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Thinking about the psalm, thinking about having our confidence in God, let me ask you, when trouble comes in your life, where do you go for help? Do you go maybe to family members or friends? Maybe you call the police if there's certain trouble? Well, those ways of gaining help are not bad, but rather God wants us to think especially about him. He wants us to think of him as a first resort, not as a last resort. Now, sometimes family, friends, police, they can help in certain ways, but let's know, though, that only the precious blood of Jesus, only that holy precious blood, can truly cover our sins and make us righteous in God's sight and make us ready to be with God forever and ever. Going to the psalm now, we're going to look at it basically verse by verse and try to get some understanding out of it, some application out of that understanding. In verse 1, it says, God is our refuge, or as the hymn says, we could say God is our fortress. So God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How many here find that life can be stressful in some ways? You ever experience that? I think, wouldn't that be the key word of the 21st century? Stress. So life can be stressful mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and probably in other ways too. What does God do? God invites us to rest in Him, to rest in His almighty arms, and to know that He is always present, He is always ready, He is always able to help us. So life isn't necessarily going to be easy, but God wants us to remember He is there for us in every circumstance of life. And then in verses 2 and 3 it says, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." What I just read there, if you think about it, wow, those are some super cataclysmic events. Those are events that basically our world has not known, except maybe at the time of Noah and the great flood, where the entire world was changed in many, many ways. But if you think about how horrible those things are, and then you think about the awesomeness of God who spoke creation into existence, doesn't that kind of put things in perspective now? God is this great. The biggest disaster in the world is like this big. Quite a difference. So God is saying to us, no matter what natural disaster it might be, what war it might be, what earth-shattering event it might be, God is saying, do not fear, but instead, trust in me. I made you, I love you, I will carry you through. You might have noticed there at the end of verse 3, we have this word, Selah. What is that word all about? If you read the Psalms, you'll see that it comes up, I think, maybe 40 or 50 times in the Psalms. So when they were singing a psalm and they came to the word Selah, it means to stop singing. But what would continue, though, as far as we know, would be some kind of a musical interlude of some kind. So the idea would be the people stop singing, the music continues, and now the people are supposed to think about what has just been said. So here in verses 2 and 3, it's talking about these cataclysmic events. So the idea would be to think about those for a few moments, and then you continue with the psalm. So as you're reading the psalms in the future, and you come to that word, I would encourage you to pause, to think about what has been said, and to put your focus on the Almighty God. Going to the second part here of the psalm, the focus here in this section is the fact that the Lord is with us. Sometimes we might not think He is. Sometimes we might not feel like He is, but He wants us to know that in fact He is. Let's consider a couple promises that we have in the Bible. For example, Moses told the descendants of Israel toward the end of the book of Deuteronomy, shortly before Moses died, shortly before they entered into the promised land, he said to them, "The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you, never forsake you." If God says that, is that true? It is. He wants us to know that. And then think about what Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascended into heaven. He said to them, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we are never truly alone, even if we feel that way sometimes. As we live in this world of sin and death, let us know that the Lord is with us in order to save us, provide for us, keep us as His own, and so much more. Going on to verse 4, it says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." So thinking about physical life, we know that we need water in order to survive. So we have this picture of God. From Him are coming these streams of water. So let's parallel that then with spiritual life. As we need the water for our bodies, we need word and sacrament for our souls. So God is there to provide for us physically. God is there to provide for us spiritually. So I'm so glad that God has moved all of us to be here today in order to receive his great blessings of word and sacrament. In verse 5 it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So who is her? We're talking here about the church. So we're talking about the Old Testament church, the New Testament church. Really, we could talk about the entire church together. And really, who is the church? The church includes all people who believe in Jesus. So in the Old Testament, they didn't know all the details that we know, but they were looking ahead to the promised Savior, and God gave them faith to trust in the one who would come. For us, it's easier. We're looking back now to what he did, and we know much more than those in the Old Testament. So thinking about God being in our midst is important. Why do I say that? Because there are many enemies of the church, and they are very powerful enemies. What are they trying to do? They are trying to overcome the church. Is that going to happen? It's not, because Jesus said to his disciples regarding the church, he said, the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. So even though it seems like it's going that way, let's know that the words of Jesus Christ will stand. The evil forces will not overcome the church. Why not? Because God is in the midst of her. God is with us. So the evil forces cannot overcome God, cannot overcome the church. Verse 6 says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. As God helps his people, the sinful world is enraged about that. In other words, the sinful world wants us to go down, to die, to get out of here, to stop talking about the things of God and leave them alone. But as we are built up, then the sinful world is enraged about that. But do we have to worry about that, though? No. We are able to stand because the world cannot overcome God, so they cannot overcome us. Let's keep in mind that God's voice is powerful. Like it says, God utters his voice, the earth melts. So God's voice is powerful to destroy, but God's voice is also powerful to speak creation into existence. God's voice is powerful to make alive, like when Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, and he came to life. God's voice can give life, and also God's voice is powerful to forgive our sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 7, it says, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. When people are in trouble, sometimes they can feel like they're alone in their trouble, and they can feel completely helpless, hopeless, and then depressed. Have we ever been that way sometimes? I'm guessing that we probably have been. But whenever we are going in that direction, what is important? It is important for us to remember that we are not alone. God is with us. God has saved us by grace through faith. God has made us his very own. And let us also know that our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the supreme commander of the heavenly armies, and he is with us in order to protect us. He is with us in order to carry us through. So he is saying, rest in me, trust in me, don't worry, don't be afraid. It's not that he's not always there for us, but I think sometimes we just kind of forget he is there for us. So he's saying, remember and be blessed. Finally, the third part here, the idea here is that the Lord settles the matter. Sometimes it seems like the world is in charge and the world is going to settle the matter. But God is saying to us, nope, It might seem that way. Many people might think that's the case, but God's up here and he's saying, no, I'm only permitting all of this for a while, but when the time comes, I'm going to settle the matter. Doesn't seem true as I look at the internet, watch a little bit of TV, read the newspapers. Those sources would seem to conclude that either there is no God, or if there is a God, he's about ready to go down to defeat. But God wants us to not look at it that way, though. He wants us to have this mindset. In the world, we have all kinds of different things, but he wants us to know that this book is most important because knowing the Bible is true, then we know that God is God. Then we know that God created the world. Through the book, we know that we are sinners. Through the book, we know that we can't fix our sin. Through the book, we know that Jesus is God in human flesh. Through the book, we know that Jesus has taken our sins and our punishment and opened heaven to all through him. Through the book, we know that God gives us the benefits of Jesus' work in holy baptism and many, many other things. So even though it seems like we're losing and we're about ready to be devoured, God wants us to never forget that in Jesus Christ, we win. And then someday, God wants us to know that eventually we will see his total victory. Right now, we believe it by faith, but eventually, though, we will see the reality of that victory. In verse 8, it says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth." So if we think about various powerful evil nations that have ruled the world, God has taken out many of those nations, never to rise again. In some cases, he's made them into base nations, but no one saw these kinds of things coming. You know, when you think about Assyria or Babylon or Greece or Rome or other great world powers, it would seem that never would they be defeated. But yet, God stepped in, and when their time was done, he defeated them. Also, too, these nations have had many proud and arrogant and evil leaders. Did God allow them to go on for a time? He did, but when the time was right, then he took them down. Verse 9, it says, "He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire." So the horrors of war are terrible, but yet whenever God wants to, he can make them cease. The greatest battle of all would be Jesus Christ going up against sin, death, and the devil, and let us know with all certainty that he has won. Again, we're not seeing the victory of that now, but let us know he has won, as he declared from the cross, "It is finished." And then in verse 10 it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Right now in the world, not that many people are too interested in Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that he will come, and it says when he comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Really, what God is saying here to all people, he is saying, hey, be still. In all of your evil and all of your ways and all of your whatever, be still and know that I am God. Know that Jesus is my son and know that he's coming back someday. And I love you. I'm giving you opportunity now to bow before him and believe in him and have the benefits of his work. God wants that for all people even now. But for those who say, nope, I think he's a loser. It doesn't seem to make sense to me. I don't care about that stuff. I don't have time for that stuff. For all those kinds of people, when he comes, they will bow and they will confess, not unto their salvation, but unto their damnation. So today is a day of salvation. What a golden opportunity for the entire world. Let us rejoice in what God has shown us. Let us rejoice in what we know. Let us rejoice in the gift of faith that we have to trust alone in Jesus Christ, to know that he did a finished work, and through him we are forgiven, we are holy in God's sight. And then, rejoicing, let us take that message to others so that they might benefit too. Let us pray. Dear Lord God Almighty, by your power we live, and by your love you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray that you would be our stronghold as we go through this valley of sorrow here in this sinful world, and continue to be our stronghold, our fortress, our refuge, until finally we are in your glorious presence forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.